are live.
We are large and in charge. Live and in strive. Low and in glow.
No. Just no and no. Okay. So talk about.
Lawn and in spawn.
Single and ready to mingle is what I thought of with spawn. But okay.
I was trying to do other L things, and the only thing that came into mind was lawn.
Okay, I was curious. Lawn, as in like...
Like lawn. Like the grass. Mow the lawn, yeah.
And then you went with spawn.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to be the lawn? Because it's usually, like, it's an adjective, and then a, like...
Lawn, and then spawn, apparently.
You picked the one... I guess the lawn can spawn, but...
Like, listen, this is what you want it to be, okay?
We can... No, I'm not even going to try to, like, make the spawn sexy or make the lawn sexy. So
spawn is, like, a video game term, though. Like...
Oh! Yeah, okay. Did not think of that as a...
That's what I was thinking the whole time.
If you had said respawn...
Okay.
Do people actually talk about spawning in video games, or it's respawning, I guess?
I guess they technically use respawn more than spawn, but like they do like the spawn room or the spawn area.
It's actually called a spawn? Like, I don't know now.
Yeah,
People call it the spawn room?
Yeah, I think they've called it that in Overwatch, like the place where you like respawn is the spawn room.
Just brings up salmon to me. Like, I think of, like, just...
This is the room where the salmon are fucking. Like, that's...
Like, well, everybody has to rush back to it, and it's the opposite.
Upstream, and...
Like, it's where the flag should be, is the respawn room.
Mm-hmm. What? No. You're bringing the flag back to your spawn room.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Because... So now, when I think of these, I don't think of Overwatch, actually. I jump to, like, tribes. Did you used to play Tribes?
I never played Tribes.
Tribes was so fucking good. Like, I don't even know how to explain, like, how good Tribes was. As a non-multiplayer person, mm-hmm. I loved that game. And as a non-first-person shooter fan who, I guess, as a person who didn't like first-person shooters and a game where, oh no, you can be shot from behind and you have to constantly turn around, Tribes was so fucking good.
It was a first-person game?
Well, I guess it was a third-person, but you could be, like, first-person look.
Okay.
But, like, yeah, it was, I don't know if it was one of the first, but it was one of the earliest recollections I have of, like, playing in, like, the mods, what mods were before, like, I didn't know anything about that sort of a culture. And then you just join various chats, and then there's, like, so the premise is, like, the disc launcher is a classic weapon, and they have, like, machine guns, chain guns, stuff like that. But people would mod the chain gun to actually be a useful, devastating weapon. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But then I would join, like, another server, and suddenly I have, like, a wizard stick. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? But all right, let's play Capture the Flag, and I'm gonna shoot you with my wizard stick. And it's, I think, doing chain gun damage, but it's, like... It was weird. It was cool.
Okay. All right.
And it was also like one of the first places where you could have like 15 on 15 or like these huge back then like maps. And
gotcha.
It wasn't just like it was pre Counter-Strike for me.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I've never played Tribes. So.
And then I tried Tribes 2 and it wasn't the same at all. Like they improved the graphics, but in a weird way, and it made the whole thing run slow. And it wasn't as fun.
All right. Well, good to know.
That's been
tribes and in scribes.
You're still going with this. No. Like, start the show.
It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer.
This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's large and in charge.
No. I'm your host. No. Say it right, damn it.
I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
Hey, you're the one that I'm doing your thing, the rhyming.
I'm the lawn, ready to spawn.
It's rhyme time.
Oh,
okay, God. We're not going to do that the entire episode, I promise.
Thank you.
So why don't we just get right into it? Just Harvey Z's snapping in the place to be.
You promised.
I that wasn't a rhyme. That was
I know, that was even worse because I think you were attempting a rhyme. I just failed. Which is even worse. I'd rather you rhyme.
All right. We are going to do for this Harvey Z Snaps. And if you're a first-time listener, what Harvey Z Snaps is I give Harvey a choice between two things. He does his Thanos snap. One goes out of existence forever. And we kind of pile on a little bit and let a little bit at a time and see what kind of dystopia we end up creating. And then we start over again, fresh, new. I'm trying to make different scenarios for him. So this one, we're going to a very classic, very old school rivalry.
Oh,
okay. One of the OG gamer conflicts.
I feel like I'm good at this then. I feel ready.
All right. So on the one hand, Nintendo. On the other hand, Sega.
All right. I mean, in real life, so I was a Sega guy.
Mm-hmm.
But now, with this snap, am I destroying currently the Nintendo?
All of Nintendo, the company, and properties. All their products.
Okay.
All their properties versus Sega and all their products, all their properties.
So I have to ask, unfortunately, what the hell is Sega doing right now?
Making Sonic the Hedgehog movies.
It's already come out, yes, and hopefully everyone's seen it, but if they haven't, do they do anything else?
I mean, they publish games.
Okay.
So they've published, like, the Yakuza games, they're publishing new Sonic games.
Of course.
You know, did they publish the new Toe Jam and Earl?
So I'd heard that they didn't, actually.
Did they just have the... whoever published it had the IP, like,
yeah.
Sega didn't have it? Okay. Like, they aren't in the console space aside from like the Genesis Mini or Classic or whatever they call it. But they do still publish different games. Valkyria Chronicles was Sega.
But do they do things outside of the video game world is my fear.
I don't think so. I think they're...
largely entertainment.
Yes.
Nintendo...
Nintendo
has systems. They have other stuff, though, it feels like.
Besides. I mean, they publish their own games. They have like all their first-party game studios. They're also primarily entertainment, but they have the same branches that Sega does, like movie. Mm-hmm. They're working on movies and that sort of thing. But they don't like.
I feel like I hear like thousands of fanboys screaming in the background at the answer of this question, which is. So I mean, I was a Sega guy day mm-hmm. one,
of course,
but like that was the battle back then. I suppose was the battle between like Super Nintendo and Sega, the 16-bits or the
Genesis, 16, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then, like, I mean, the war was won by Nintendo a long time ago. We have to admit that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Nintendo has way more properties, way more current systems and things like that. Like, I play the Switch a lot more. My purchased Sega Genesis Classic Mini thing, I haven't actually taken it out of the box. I've kind of put it up as a display, like, from long ago. The Switch, play it regularly. I'm going to have to snap out Sega.
Yeah, I figured you would. I wasn't sure if like your old school loyalty would overcome the fact that you have a Switch now. But
I'm
like,
not gonna like spite myself in that regard. Yeah. Of like, I mean,
Harvey Z looks out for number one,
and that's the Z. Yeah, because I mean, what like why would I pick Sega now? Like, in what way does this benefit me other than? My display case, I can continue to look at my display case and go, yeah, that exists. Not going to play it, but it exists.
That's fair.
Nintendo won the war.
Yep. Nintendo won the war. Nintendo won the snap.
Yeah.
So before we move on to the reason I picked this particular one, have you been playing anything new on your Switch?
On the Switch, no. I've been actually getting back into Children of Morta.
Okay.
They recently released an update.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, it automatically updated, I guess, my Switch. And it was like, I guess I should continue playing it. Got back into it. It's different from playing again, like the Spire game, which mm-hmm. is to say the
Slay the Spire.
Slay the Spire, because Slay the Spire, it's a, like, contained episode. Like, I play through it in, like, an hour, and I'm done, and I've gone through, like, a story.
Have you beaten that one yet?
I guess no, because I've beaten it with the Red Knight guy, in the sense that I have nothing to unlock. I have nothing, I think, to...
Did you beat the Act 3 boss?
I mean, I've beaten an Act 3 boss repeatedly.
So you got to the heart?
I think so, yeah. But it didn't seem special.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's something more. I feel like there's something more.
There's you have to beat it with all three characters.
That's what I haven't done it with. Well, actually, I thought I have. I don't know.
If you've beaten it with all three characters, like, and beaten, like, the Act 3 boss, something will change in your runs.
Okay.
So, like, if you don't know...
I don't.
Okay. Then you haven't beaten him well through yet.
Because I'm like, oh, I still have to unlock stuff for the robot guy. Mm-hmm. But, like, and I've been doing pretty well with the, like, the shadow person, or the silent, I guess. Or
the green. Silent.
But, like, I know with the red guy, I've done everything. Mm-hmm. I think the robot guy has beaten the Act 3 boss. I think it's then the green one. Okay. Who I've almost unlocked everything, but, like, that's the last step.
Gotcha.
I thought I beat the Act 3 boss with doing the special modes.
But that doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
You have to beat it...
In the pure game.
In the pure game.
Not with like, some weird crazy like thing.
Right.
Because I've done it all three with the crazy mode,
I think. Yeah, so that's probably what it is you haven't beaten one of them with the regular mode. Cool. And so Children of Mortar, the update is...
The update... So it added a hard mode.
Oh.
And, like, they did some other stuff. Like, they added more powers and things like that. So, I mean, I hadn't unlocked most of the game, so it wasn't like, oh, I'm getting new content. It's just the content I have has maybe gotten more, and I'm suddenly seeing more powers that I hadn't seen before.
Gotcha.
But I hadn't seen all of the powers to begin with.
All right. I'm going to be honest. Children of Mortar has been on sale at least once, and I've been very tempted, based on your recommendation, to pick it up. I haven't fully bought it yet, because I'm trying to keep what I buy... Like, I'm trying to work on stuff I already have.
And I thought, like, oh, I've gotten pretty far in the game and stuff. I realized, like, I'm less than 33% of the way done.
Oh, well, there you
go. Which is why I was like, oh, it's almost done, because I finished, like, two bosses and I have the third one to go. And it's like, oh, that's the first world. Because I've unlocked, like, 50. Like, I feel like story-wise, a lot's been happening. What more can happen? There's plenty more, I think.
You'll find out if you keep playing. That's cool. Just as a quick update for me, I played through the King of Cards expansion for Shovel Knight, which was the last... Shovel Knight was basically a Kickstarter. I think it released back in 2015, or the Kickstarter was in 2015. Anyway, Shovel Knight was a Kickstarter that got massively funded, and King of Cards was the last expansion that they promised from the Kickstarters. So, like, they've been working on this game for, like, 5 years. And it's very good. I like Shovel Knight a lot, but I'm very interested to see what they do now that they've finished Shovel Knight.
When you say, like, King of Cards, what type of a game is it?
So, one of the Kickstarter, like, extra rewards, like, if you reach this goal, I don't remember if it was all grouped as one or if they were three separate goals. But they basically gave the goal of side missions in the game, or like expansions where you play as some of the boss knights. And so, like, Shovel Knight is kind of set up not like Mega Man, but in a similar vein, where there's like you're Shovel Knight and you fight eight other knights. There's King Knight, Plague Knight, Propeller Knight, those sorts, like, different knights of the world, and you play their level, fight them at the end. You don't get a power or anything, but it's set up similar to that. And so the Yacht Club Games, who made the game, in the Kickstarter, they were like, the fans and Kickstarter people get to vote on what three of the boss knights they want to have their own campaign. So people voted, and they voted on Plague Knight, Spectre Knight, and King Knight of the three that they wanted to see have their own campaigns. And so Plague Knight was the first one they did, and that one was, like, the simplest reskin, but, like, they also, like, changed up a lot of, like, the mechanics, because Plague Knight has his own thing versus the Shovel Knight. And then Spectre was slightly more complicated, and then King Knight was, like, super complicated. Like, it had a it has its own card game in it. Like, it's not just like the same levels over again and everything.
Is it still like a platforming game?
Yeah, they're all still platforming games. All of them are different types of, like, the knight that you control has different move sets and movements and how to get through the level. Like, Shovel Knight can bounce on his shovel and dig stuff and everything. Plague Knight throws bombs, and, like, you have to, like, time the bombs to, like, knock you up further and do, like, double jumps and things like that. The only move that King Knight has is, like, a dash charge sort of thing. And when you hit things, you spin around. And, like, you pop up and spin around. So you have to, like, bounce off things as you're spinning. And, like, it King of Cards, excuse me, ended up being a very interesting platforming mechanic for me. Because I was charging into wall. You, like, charge into a wall to, like, bounce yourself up higher. Then bounce off an enemy so you can charge again and hit another wall. Like, it was different, a lot different than other platformers in the way you move about, in such a unique way that I really got into it. Like, I haven't played the Plague or Spectre Knight ones. Like, I tried the Plague Knight one and fell off of it very quickly, but King of Cards kept me engaged, both with the way the platforming worked and, like, the extra little card game in it was actually really fun too.
That's what I'm more intrigued by. There's a card game in this platformer?
Yes. Yeah. You play a game called Joustice, and you can basically get cards of all the people in the game, like Shovel Knight and the other knights and everything. And, like, they do different things when you play them. You probably haven't played any of the Final Fantasies or, like, Gwent or
anything. So, like, that's where I was about to go with this in a tangent of, like, I remember playing a Final Fantasy game that had, like, a card mini game in it.
Yes.
That I got, like, super into.
Right, even yeah. Triad? Was it Final Fantasy VIII?
I think it was Final Fantasy VIII, where, like, there's a premise of, like, there's a layout of a board, and you place, like, cards/monsters onto the board, and they have, like, numbers in the corners. And, like, I don't remember the game itself now, but, like...
Yeah, that's Triad. That's, like, everyone loves Triple Triad. It's one of the greatest, like... greatest mini games ever in, like, terms
is there an actual, just, like, can you just get Triple Triad the game?
I'm sure somewhere has, like, made, like, a flash game or some sort of, like, way to just play Triple Triad.
It was just fun. And,
but yeah, like, it's
you could challenge, like, NPCs in the middle. So, like,
right, and you get, like, character cards and everything. Yeah. Yep, that was Final Fantasy VIII. I think they did another version of it in Final Fantasy IX, but it wasn't quite as popular.
Mm-hmm.
But VIII was, yeah.
Like, it got to where, like, I didn't really care about the game plot itself. I just wanted to go around, like, challenging people in that. Like, I had some great cards, I felt, and I was like, oh, yeah, let's play.
Yeah, and that's kind of similar to what this was. It's just, it's a different style of game, but it's still pretty fun in the sense of, like, I'm going to stop my platforming for, like, half an hour and instead challenge all these people to card games until I get their unique cards. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I highly recommend that. I finished that up. Now I'm playing Captain Toad, which is, like, this puzzle game. You play as Captain Toad and Toadette.
I was about to say, like, Toad from the Mario
games. And, like, you can't jump, and so it's kind of like a puzzle. You have to navigate Captain Toad through, like, this small level, and part of the trick is, like, you can rotate the level around to, like, see from different directions. And sometimes the stuff you need to collect is, like, hidden behind, like, a wall that you won't see unless you change the perspective. And so it's like half a platformer, half a puzzle, because you're not, like, jumping or anything. You're just moving him around to collect the things and, like, find the hidden stuff in the level.
I don't know how I feel about that as a puzzle game, because I know that's a mechanic that's been in a lot of Mario games since, like, I guess the Paper Mario days of, like, oh, look, we went from 2D to, like, 3D in a way. But, like, the concept of, like, if you rotate the map, you'll find the hidden object. I'm like, okay, it's novelty. But if that's the premise of, like, a lot of the game, like, to solve most of the puzzles or so.
It's not all the puzzles, but it's a key component in a lot of the levels where you have to, like, kind of figure out what's going on and sort of thing. I like it. It's a very light game, kind of cute and fun, and, like, I can put in a few levels, not think too hard, and then
got it.
Yeah. So that's a quick gaming update. There you go. We got a quick games in review, what we've been playing, whatever. I don't know what I'll call it, but what we've been playing sounds like a good like segment title, you think?
It feels a little long. What playing? What games?
What I like, I keep going back to Hey Ash, what you playing? But that was like
Pokemon?
No, Ashley Birch, who is like a voice actress now in a lot of games. There was a video back in the day. I think it might have been like in one of those early YouTube type skit sort of series where she and her brother would just like do random skits, and usually involve video games in some way. They were really funny. But anyway, so like what you're playing, I go to Hey Ash, what you playing, which was the name of the skit. Mm-hmm. So we can't call it that. Hey Harvey, what you playing?
Yeah, it's going to be very, because I was like, oh, I've realized there's one other game that I've been playing, but it's like a poop game. Words with Friends 2.
Ah.
I challenged you and I beat you several times now.
I don't have Words with Friends
2. Which is why it's great.
Wait, how are you challenging me?
So, like, we used to play, apparently, Words with Friends a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So I've re-downloaded it.
Oh, you motherfucker.
And so, like,
no, this
is great, because if you don't respond to my challenge after, like, 48 to, like, 72 hours. Oh, you asshole.
This,
I like, win by default, and I get, like, 1 point. I am downloading
this piece of shit right now. You are besmirching my name. I will kick your ass in Words of Friends.
So, like, yeah,
this is unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable.
Like, I get 1 point for beating you, and all I have to do is just start a game and, like, let you, like, not play for, like, 3 days.
I cannot believe... You are...
Because you were the only friend I had on the list, damn it.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember what my login is, though, so that's...
I'm gonna keep winning, then.
Oh, no. This is... You're...
It's like I play like once a day. I put in my stuff, but it's like,
yeah, no,
it's a good game.
But one
of the side of music things is, yeah, I can keep beating you.
Nope, not gonna happen. I am challenging. Although I guess when I played it, I had an iPhone, so I don't know if my ID will transfer over or not. But we'll see. You will get this easy win. Will not happen any longer.
Like, I've beaten you, like, 3 times, I think. That's all.
Okay.
Because it also takes, like, 3 days.
Yeah, so,
I've just been doing this for, like, a week.
You're a jerk. Okay, so, moving on, what I do want to talk about is the adventure we went on last night. You're already shaking your head.
Yeah, the adventure we went on last night. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll call it that.
It was a Sonic adventure. Hey!
Again, not really seeing. It's
a game. There are games called Sonic Adventure. It's Sonic Adventure 2.
Not the early Sonics. They're not called Sonic.
No, they're just called Sonic the Hedgehog. But yeah, like the 3D games, there's Sonic Adventure.
That was after my time.
Okay. Well, I can't help it if I know more about Sonic than you.
I'm gonna let that one slide. Gonna let it slide.
All right. So we saw Sonic the Hedgehog the movie. To a packed theater. There were just so many people. God, I cannot believe, like, there were like 8 people total in the theater, and then right as the movie was about to start, 2 people showed up and were like, you're in my seat.
Yeah, like that. I mean, yeah,
like, fuck it, literally empty seats everywhere. It didn't fucking matter, and these 2 people came up. Like, we had, like, spread out slightly, like, put a seat between us.
Yeah,
and so they sat right next to us.
So, like, I scooted over, and then, yeah, but then that person was right next to me. Not even, like, they had space to scoot one down.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they took their seats.
That was so infuriating. Like, come on. Like, I'm normally a rule stickler, but literally the 8 people total in the theater, and you have to sit right next to 2 of the other people.
Like, the 3 people who initially came just spread out. Like, one dude went to the front and just decided to immerse himself
in,
like,
the
front rows.
But it was, anyway.
Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
You were so reluctant after coming out of that movie and going into it.
Yeah, all the way through, I think, like,
you were fighting it.
Yeah, the only reason I really went was for the pod. Like, ugh. Because I don't think you were thinking about it in that concept of, like, this is content.
I wasn't really until you
just wanted to see Sonic.
I mean, it was getting decent reviews. Like people were coming 64%. But like people that were video game fans were coming out of it saying this actually wasn't bad. Like
that's not a good review. This actually wasn't bad.
I mean, they were excited for it, but like I was tempering it with the fact that some of them were Sonic fans who enjoyed it. Uh-huh. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to get that level of enjoyment out of it because mm-hmm. I've never been like huge into Sonic and that sort of thing. But I actually liked it. I thought it was decent. And you...
I will preface it with like Birds of Prey. It's a great movie.
I still don't understand why you're comparing the two.
The internet did this thing, basically.
No, okay. So first of all, the internet is wrong. I want to be very clear. Birds of Prey is a hard R movie with a completely different cast, completely different purpose,
mm-hmm.
absolutely nothing to do with Sonic the Hedgehog, which is a PG kids movie.
Uh-huh. It got memed.
They released within a week of each other.
This is not a factual thing. This is a meme thing that happened, which is to say, so Birds of Prey came out, and then people started to go, oh, it's tanking. It's not doing that well. It's doing bad. And then the meme started to come out of like, you know why it's going to continue to do bad, though? Sonic. It's all going to be about Sonic. That's why Birds of Prey is going to continue to tank. And then Birds of Prey, it's been doing fine. It's actually getting its, like, whatever it is. But, like, what the memes became was, like, before the movie released, it pitted itself against Sonic's going to be crushing Birds of Prey. Sonic's going to be out there. Birds of Prey is only going to... Movies will continue to drop in terms of, like, their viewership from week one to week two.
Right.
But the thing that came out was... Week two, it's going to drop because of Sonic. And it's like, all right, this is exactly what you're saying. It wasn't something where it's the same viewers or such, but it just became this movie that's being picked on already by like people for like...
Can I just make myself very clear here? You sound like you're regurgitating things from a side of the internet that we shouldn't talk about. Like, because those people wanted Birds of Prey to fail... because of the fact that it's a female cast and things like that. And they related it to Sonic in a way because like Sonic is a video game movie and it's not trying to be social justice-y and all that stupid shit. And I'd rather not like go that direction mm-hmm. because the movies are completely different.
Yep.
Targeting different audiences and they don't need to be compared in any way. Sonic is not taking any audience away from Birds of Prey.
And the one thing that has been wholesome that I've seen that's kind of given me through this is apparently happening in the video game world in a much nicer way with Doom and like
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing. And I was like, this is what it should have been.
Yes, I agree. Doom and Animal Crossing, everything about that, if you don't know, Doom Eternal and Animal Crossing are both releasing on the same day in March, and it's just turned into this really wholesome thing between both communities where they're like drawing characters of the Doom and Animal Crossing together, and it's very sweet.
It's adorable. It's sweet. It's like, that's the content I would like to see, because I saw the other stuff and it was like, this is artificial like media pitting kind of thing. And then the problem is with that, when it becomes me, other people are just like, oh, let's just make more in this to get jokes and views and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it becomes, you can't tell, is it because of the original group or is it just because it's tongue-in-cheek or ironic to say this sort of stuff? And then recently only did I start to see, oh, you can like both. But I saw literally like two or three fan arts of that versus like lots of fan art going into dropping and making this like competition up.
Yeah. So anyway, about the actual movie, not Birds of Prey, because I haven't seen that yet.
Yep. I will still say, it's not a great movie, Sonic, but it was...
What were the exact words you used after it took like 5 minutes of pulling teeth when we walked out of the theater? It was, this movie had no right to be that good.
That makes it sound like, oh, but I mean, it had no right to be as good, but I mean... That makes it sound like, oh, man, but...
That's what you said.
It was okay, and it might be, like, 64%, fair enough. It's above the 50% mark. It is in the positive territory. I don't know if I'd watch it again on my own, no. If someone hasn't seen it...
Yeah, I don't know if... It's not a movie that's going to go into my stable of...
Like, I laughed. Movies. There were times... And that's why it's like, as I was saying yesterday, kind of, where they had a lot of jokes in there. A lot of jokes fell flat, but then some jokes really landed for me.
Yeah.
And they were pretty funny. And it was pretty good. Like, if I'm going by, a joke ratio of, like, how funny was it per joke? Maybe not that much, but were there some really good jokes in there? Yeah, there were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I laughed.
The Fast and Furious joke, man, I was not expecting it, and it was amazing. Like, I don't know why that particular one. Like, I mean, was not expecting that in a Sonic movie, even though maybe I should have, but not really. I don't know. Like, I feel like for me, it is good at being a kid's movie. And, like, it is one of those movies where, like, if I had a kid and my kid wanted to watch Sonic,
I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can put that on. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You know? Like, I would watch it if, like, yeah, if a kid or, like, even, like, my cousin or somebody wanted to see it, like, a little kid wanted to see it, I'd be like, sure, let's watch it.
Yeah.
It's, if another adult wanted to watch it, I'd be like, oh, come on, we can watch something else. Like,
yeah, basically. Way more fun. Yeah. I think that's about how I feel.
But, like, so Sonic is the Sega mascot, the character, the face, who has a lot of personality for being, like, a wisecracking, like, hedgehog. And they certainly nailed that part.
Yeah.
Which... he's a wisecracking hedgehog. Not all the jokes landed for me. Like for me, there were some parts where, like, he flosses. And I'm like, of course he flosses.
Yeah, that was one of those moments of, like... But at the same time, he's also kind of portrayed as, like, a teenager.
Yeah.
Almost.
Like if so, I, like, was a kid and I grew up in the Fortnite era, I'd be like, ah, this is awesome. He's flossing.
Yeah.
He gets my... Like, I'm a 30-plus old man watching this going, ah, he's flossing. Like... if he moonwalked or something, maybe. But that wouldn't be then for the modern era. Like,
did you see Shazam?
I haven't seen Shazam. Yeah, that one yet.
Okay. But, like, in Shazam flosses.
Yeah.
Because, like, but he's also supposed to be a 13-year-old kid who gets superhero powers. And so, like, that...
Like, it tracked for the character. It's just for me, like, when I see flossing, I'm like, this isn't for me.
Right. Yeah.
Which is why it's like, this was a kid's movie, and I fully, wholly agree... As a kid's movie, it was pretty good. Because, so, Jim Carrey, a tour de force performance by Jim Carrey, which made me feel like when I was a kid watching Jim Carrey movies, like The Mask and, like, The Riddler and, like, a little bit Ace Ventura as well, those facial expressions, yeah, the silliness.
He was classic Jim Carrey in this.
Like, and
this,
so,
this has been a long time since we've seen this kind of wacky out of him. And I like seeing that again.
Because, like... I didn't know if he still did that stuff in a way.
And he still got it.
Yeah. And it was so over the top and cheesy, but as a kid's movie, it's perfect.
Right.
And I'm sure if I rewatched, like, The Mask and all of those, I'd be like, oh, it's a bit much. It's cheesy, but I would love it because as a kid, I loved it.
Right. Yeah.
So it was nice to have, like, that's why it's like this movie had positives in it and it did try to maintain a video game plot in some way. I guess we should say spoilers or... some spoilers, where, like, there's a reason that Sonic has rings and there's a reason that, like, he collects the rings and so forth. And I was like, all right, they did. It wasn't just a here's a character from a video game in, like, a different world. And there's no throwback to why he does what he does. There is some winks and nods to, like, the original Sonic game.
Yeah.
And, like, the plot, I guess, in a way. And actually, for me, one of my favorite sequences was the credits.
Mm-hmm. Like when they put, like, the 2D Sonic,
there's, like, a little pixelated, and that was the other part that actually, for me, going into the movie, I'm like all negative and I'm like, ah, we're gonna watch this shitty movie in this empty theater basically. And, like, once the soundtrack kicked in, I think the soundtrack really helped, which is early on there's a montage and it's to a Queen song. And I was like, all right, this is cool. Like, Queen, that's my era, I got this. All right, thank you for acknowledging the 30-year-old guy watching this. Like, all right, I'll watch this and I'll see. And the soundtrack kept it up in the way that the soundtrack was not all modern. Yes, right. The last song was, like, people who I didn't recognize, but some of the other songs and such were more, like, 80s and 90s stuff. And I was like, all right, I can vibe with this. I started to give it a chance as soon as that, like, montage started to happen.
Yeah.
Because... yeah, the early stuff was too quick and too fast, and I was like, eh. Although, again, that opening sequence where it shows, like, the world of Sonic, and it's like, that's the first level in, like, various spaces. And
right.
That's why it was like, the nostalgia started to hit me first, but I was still cynical. And then the music kicked in, and I was like, all right, I'll watch you and I'll give you a chance. And then Jim Carrey came in and I was like, oh, this is great. The thought that came into my head was they had a fucked up Sonic in the beginning. Like, right?
This was a good Sonic. Yeah, the CGI Sonic that ended up in the final movie was done very well. I think if the Nightmare Sonic had stayed,
oh god,
I would have not been able to watch it. Like, he looked terrible.
It's like, how could you screw that up? That, like, because the Nightmare Sonic, like, I couldn't, there's no way you could watch this movie.
Yeah.
With, like, that. Like, this cutesy Sonic, I was like, at time, because it's so, yeah, like, ugh.
The other thing is, though, there is one scene where Sonic pretends to be, like, a small dude.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like that scene would have definitely worked better with, like, Ugly Sonic. Because, like, Horrendous Crazy Sonic looked way too humanoid, yeah, which was the problem. And so you can kind of imagine that scene happening and, like, being like, oh, okay, I get why all these people don't think there's a small blue hedgehog. But, like, with the cartoon Sonic, it is very obvious and, like, everyone's just like, oh, okay, this guy has a weird skin condition. And, like, the guy is half eyes.
Yeah.
You know, but so I can see how, like, that scene was definitely done with the idea that, mm-hmm, Sonic can pass for a dude, but Sonic can't pass for a dude, like, or human dude, I should, yeah, say. Like, he should not look like that. So I'm really glad they did the CGI change.
Because I remember that scene and I'm like going, this is unrealistic. Like, this is a tiny blue hedgehog with, like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's all eyes. How would they ever mistake this for a human? But as a kid, I'd be like, oh, it's Sonic. He's, yeah, doing Sonic things. Like, oh. And, like, it had a great finishing sequence to it and everything. And so I was, that's where I had to suspend a lot of the disbelief in the sense of, this movie is for kids. It's a kid's movie. But there were adult jokes at times. But again, like, half the jokes that didn't land for me probably might have landed in my, as a kid, sense of humor. Like, right, ah, he's being wacky or goofy or such. Right,
yeah.
Like, I still am annoyed, though, in the car chase sequence. Why did they let Sonic drive? It's a kid. And, like, the Sonic's, like, kicking robot ass. He's doing great. And then the dude's like, you drive now, and I'm going to fight the final robot on my own. And it's like, why, sir? What makes you think that you have the powers to fight this robot when the blue hedgehog has been destroying, like, all of the... Anyway, yeah, that was my biggest, like... Oh, this is taking me out of the movie from, like, a plot-wise thing.
I like that that's what takes you out of the movie.
Let the hedgehog just continue to kick ass. And also, like, I mean, he's Sonic. You had to nerf him for a while. Yeah. But it makes the release of, like, when he's superpowered even better and, like, when he's fully using his powers. Because it's otherwise, it's, like, actually, I like the sequences. The Eggman versus Sonic, like, fights and everything else.
Yeah, I thought everything was done very well. I feel like in terms of video game adaptations, even though they did the tried and true, like, not in the video game world, the character comes to the human world,
yeah,
trope, like, it still turned out pretty good. Like, I was pretty satisfied with everything.
Yeah, like, because again, I was reading, like, reviews online and stuff, the criticisms, like, one of the criticisms being, like, do we get emotionally attached and could the beats have been done? Like, it's really quick. So I was like, yeah, it is kind of quick. Like, how we find out about Sonic. We find out he's lonely. We find out his character quest. We know that what he's got to do and stuff. At the same time, as a kid, I don't think I would have been that critical.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, okay, I got it. Now you filled me in and all right, he's going on a quest.
The other thing was, this was a movie-sized movie. This wasn't like a 2.5 hour,
thank God,
Avengers-esque, like, you know, bloated sort of thing. This was a tight hour and a half, and that's why the plot moved forward. It went fast, like Sonic.
Like, I could appreciate it in that way of where it's, all right, thank you for not making me sit through, like, 2 hours of, yeah, Sonic. Yeah,
this didn't need to be an epic.
Yeah.
And it worked for the time frame it was in. Like, if you come at it from the perspective of this was definitely designed as a kid's movie,
yeah,
and not designed as a... we're making a movie for 30-year-old Sonic fans, and instead it's a kid movie with some references that 30-year-old Sonic fans might like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a good movie. It's not, like, Pixar level of, like, Toy Story or up or where like it's made for both kids and adults, it is much more of a like Spy Kids 3D or you know, those sorts of movies that are designed to be watched by kids and adults kind of occasionally watch and go, that's a Fast and Furious joke they snuck in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because I was like trying to analyze it of like, is Sonic's story like man's search for identity and immortality, like facing his mortality and his existential crisis, and what is, and it's like, it's a kid's movie about like a lonely hedgehog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because although I could still argue like he's facing death in a way and he has to, like all of us, come to terms with mortality. And can any of us truly outrun
all right, you know what?
The we're Eggman not, that is death?
we're not going to go there. Where we are going to go, unless you have anything else to add about Sonic.
I think I'm good.
I think we're good. All right. We got Eggman as death, as philosophy here. Where we're going is the Countdown Cauldron. I don't know why you're surprised every time I bring this up.
That was not surprise. That was excitement, anticipation.
Okay. All right. Well, we're still in the 80s. So you have already picked number 85 and 88. So give me a pick from 81 to 90.
Because I realized last time, I didn't realize it was available at that time.
Uh-huh.
90, sir.
90. All right. So before I get into it, I forgot to introduce it again. The Countdown Cauldron is basically, I listed out from 100 to number one, my top 100 games of the last decade, 2010 to 2019. And, we're slowly going through tens by tens. Harvey Z is picking out some. We're going to talk about one or two each week, and we're slowly working down the list. I will be putting up the companion pieces. 100 to 91 might be up by now. It should be up by now, but I have packs and everything to be, I'm going to be at next week. So we'll see how that turns out. That being said, number 90 in my top 100 games of the last decade is one you know very well. In fact, one that you coined a catchphrase for.
Coined the catchphrase for
it showed up on our YouTube Let's Plays a lot.
Oh, adios Helldiverinos.
Adios Helldiverinos. Number 90 is Helldivers.
I'm surprised it made it to 90. Like, that's higher than I thought it would be, honestly.
That's about as high as I could give it, because like, I like it as a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfectly engaging, fun game. It's also very arcadey in a sense of, like, you have the level, you go in, you complete the missions, you can, like, have, like, a little bit of prep work where, like, what weapons you have and everything. Mm-hmm. But in general, it feels very much like kind of like a Gauntlet-esque co-op where you, like, you load in the level, one character's the wizard, one's the warrior, whatever. But what I really loved about this game was how it brought our friends together. Like, yeah. This Helldivers somehow became one of like the most popular games for us to play for the Let's Play. Like, everyone loved fucking around in Helldivers, because mostly because it like has, you know, friendly fire on, and it just brings back that old school of we accidentally get Overbob to run into mines. Yes. Just because.
It's built for comedy.
Calling down a what do they call it, the like the pods with the weapons.
Oh god, we would just kill each other. Yeah. Stupidly and senselessly.
So the basis of Helldivers is it's kind of like Starship Troopers-esque, where you're this group of Marines and you just like go on hell dives, essentially. The hell divers
to spread like democracy.
Yeah, something. You're spreading, fight for free. What was the catchphrase they used? Something for democracy. I don't remember what it was.
Like, it was very tongue in cheek.
Yeah,
on like,
yeah.
How it viewed.
Yeah, but yeah. Like, you're, and there's like bug aliens and cyborgs, and like there's three different races you fight. I think one was the bugs. One was the cyborgs with like the robots. And then there was, I don't remember what the third one was. Wasn't it on like an ice planet and they were like weird alien-y things?
Yeah.
But anyway, and so your team drops down on the planet and then you have to call in like your weapon pods. And so like the ship above the planet will send the things down and they rocket down and land hard. And if your teammates aren't watching, they will get squished the fuck out by these pods.
Because like game developers like had to put in that mechanic and they had to know it would be self-harming or like it would destroy team members. And they're like, yeah, let's put it in. That sounds perfect. It'll cause an instant death.
Yeah. And it's the entire game is like that. Like you have to be, it turns frenetic and you have to be like very communicative between each other. You have to have dialogue and be like, okay, I'm doing this, you take that, like I'll fire to the east, you fire to the west, because if someone with a giant machine gun starts firing at the enemies coming from the west and his teammates are in front of him, you also take out your teammates.
Yeah,
like you can get giant mechs and you like you stomp on your teammates and kill them immediately. Like if you mess up your jetpack, you fall down pits and lava and all that stuff. Like it's so much fun in like that organized chaos kind of way, because like every time we never played it too seriously, you know, like we kept fucking with each other, we kept fucking up, and it was all for laughs. It wasn't like, oh god, we have to, it wasn't like Overcooked where we started getting stressed out when people like wouldn't make the burgers correctly. Instead, Helldivers was just like very,
it's goofy fun.
Yeah it was yeah, exactly.
That was also probably why I was expecting it to be lower in a way, because that was the one thing missing. I felt like it would have been nice to have boss fights slash a conclusion, but because of the way it's set up, it's like internet like based in a way that like, I guess the sequence just, you get closer and closer to like the boss home world, and then there's like a super hard level that I guess you would beat, more like the internet beats, and then it resets itself.
Right, yeah. Like
that part I found frustrating.
Yeah, it was weird. So like we never really had like a sense of how the story was going or what the progression was, because every time we played it for like recording videos, and so every time we jumped into it, it was like a different time frame. Sometimes we would have all three races we could fight. Sometimes only one race was left before the reset. Like, and so that part was a little bit confusing.
Like it, I didn't do feel like we had an impact, which is kind of why we didn't take it seriously, because each level was all we had. It wasn't like we got to beat this sequence so we can beat a boss or something.
Right. Yeah. So you are correct. And that is why it's not a lot higher. But at the same time,
it's a lot of fun. Like, even just recalling it now, it just brings a smile.
Yeah, it was good. Like, the Helldivers videos, I might include a link to the...
I'm still proud of that stuff. Like, yeah. When I, like, left you guys for a while and, like, went to New Zealand, I watched those videos over there and, like, just smiled, like, you goofy bastards. What the hell were we doing?
Yeah, I think the Helldivers videos were some of our best. Like, yeah. I really liked how those turned out, because that was us at top nonsense. Like, those and the Overcooked videos, I think, like, I was able to edit the good parts of the Overcooked videos.
Oh, okay.
There were some parts where we got super into it and it wasn't as entertaining, but then there were some times where we just, like, we were setting things on fire and it was pretty hilarious. So that's number 90. I think we're gonna cap it at one this time, because we're kind of been talking for a while already, because now I want to end the podcast with something we haven't done in a while, which is more video game trivia.
I love this game. Not great at it, but I think I almost beat him last time, and maybe I did, so we're 1-1.
I don't think you beat me. I think we tied.
I beat you either.
Yeah, and I think we tied. I think we both got like 1.5 or something.
You were generous with giving me that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I beat you the first time. I think we were keeping an overall count. I think it's something like 8-6 or like 9-7 or something right now. Because like I know the first match I won 7-5.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a stack here. I haven't looked at any of these, so.
And should we say like what this what the game is actually?
Okay, so
do we promote these guys?
I can take a look at it and see what it actually is. Let me see here. I don't know if I want to give it away.
Okay.
Because like I don't want people to know the answers ahead of time.
I mean, they'd have to go and, like, find the questions and...
Okay, so it's made by a company called Professor Puzzle, and it's just called Ultimate Game, or Ultimate Video Game Trivia. Okay. It comes in, like, a little Game Boy-type box.
In case if they want to play at home and just, yeah, to, you know, if you want to
see it.
Yeah.
But they're just basically video game questions on cards. And
ah, damn it, this is so easy. I should have gotten this question. I'm so annoyed with you now. Because it's a Sonic question.
Well, it's great. It's on theme. All right, so let's get started. Why don't you go ahead and start us off? Normally, I go first. Yeah, but why don't you start this one?
So, what is the first zone called in the 1991 game Sonic the Hedgehog?
Oh, that one is really easy.
Yeah.
That would be the Green Hill Zone.
Green Hill Zone.
Yeah. Ding. That's one for me.
Too easy. Yeah.
Go ahead and hit me with the second one on the card.
Second one I think you'll get as well, which is, what is the name of the South Park role-playing game that was released in 2014?
Oh, that would be the Stick of Truth.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. That was a good game. I like that. Did you ever play that
one? I've read about it and I've heard about the jokes in it and such.
Like, I personally like the second one better because it had more of a... The battles were like almost like on an XCOM-y grid.
Really?
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, the attacks, like, took up grid spaces, and, like, you had to move your guys around in each battle.
Okay.
While the first game, Stick of Truth, was a lot more classic Final Fantasy RPG-type battling with a little bit of Paper Mario mechanics of, like, where you have to time the hits, and, like, or, like, Super Mario RPG, where, like, you hit the A button as you hit, you know, the enemy, and it does more damage sort of thing. But both were good. Both, if you like South Park, you'll like those games. It's the same type of humor. They do some good in jokes. The second game has a difficulty slider where your skin color is harder, the darker it is, you know. That sort of humor.
That's what it's known for, yeah.
Okay. All right. This one... okay. These are two questions you might know, but if you have to have been paying attention.
Oh,
so okay. Like, I definitely know you have enough information to know both of these, but the question is, can you bring back the knowledge?
Okay.
All right. First question. Which former Gears of War studio is the developer for the 2017 game Fortnite Battle Royale?
Wow. I know we've talked about Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Bethesda, which is the Fallout people.
Correct.
The Gears of War people. See, I don't make the association, because I know we've talked about Gears of War. We talk about Fortnite, but not in a who made it.
I mean, I haven't talked about Gears of War a lot. Like, Gears of War is an Xbox series, and I haven't played it very much.
Oh, okay.
So, if you're thinking God of War...
No, I'm not.
Okay. I don't know what you're thinking of.
Because Fortnite, I know... So, PUBG was the other guy.
Yep.
So, who made Fortnite?
I'm going to give you a slight hint. Because of Fortnite, they made a bucket load of money. And because they made a bucket load of money, they opened their own store to compete with Steam. And we have talked about their store a lot.
Ah, crap. I know we've talked about this, but I didn't know they were even
a company.
This is
what I'm saying. You have the information.
Yeah.
You just need, can you access it?
Oh, man. It's those people who made, it's the store. I didn't realize that. I wouldn't have made that correlation to Gears of War or Fortnite that this... What the hell is their company called? It's Ubisoft is not the game company. It's crap. Let's get to more questions. So I don't know.
Okay, it's Epic Games.
Epic Games.
And the Epic Games Store is the one that competes with Steam.
Okay, I didn't realize it was a gaming company. Epic Games Store. I was like, oh, Epic Games.
Yep.
Just like Steam.
Nope, Epic Games was, they made a Gears of War originally, and they're responsible for Fortnite.
Okay.
This other question, again, you probably have the information, but can you dig it out?
Can you dig it?
Anyway, with names shared with the typefaces used for their speech bubbles, what are the skeleton duo in Undertale called?
Can you repeat the question, please?
With names shared with the typefaces used for their speech bubbles, what are the skeleton duo in Undertale called?
I was going to say comics or Comic Sans, but there is a Sans.
Sans is one of them. What's the other one?
The skeleton duo, as in like the protagonists?
They're not protagonists.
Oh, because there's a guy named Sans.
Sans is one of them.
And that means the other guy's not like without Sans. No. Which is.
It's another font.
Sans and Arial. No. Like Times New Roman. Papyrus.
There it is.
Really?
Papyrus, yeah.
It's actually Papyrus. Like, I'm just going through fonts.
Sans and Papyrus.
All right.
I'm going to give you half on that one, because that was just you listing fonts.
I think I win fully there, because I knew Sans. Papyrus, yeah, okay, I guessed two or three other things, but it worked. I'll take it. All right. Yeah. So now part of the game is, like, will you get this or not? I think you'll get one of these. You might get both, actually. Damn it. This is... What is the name of the time-manipulating weapon used by the prince in The Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time?
Oh, shit. Wasn't it, like, something, like, extremely simple, like the Dagger of Time?
The Dagger of Time. Yes. I was hoping you'd miss that one, just because it was so obvious.
Yeah. Like,
the time-manipulating weapon, because I cannot say... The time-manipulating dagger.
Yeah, I was like, it seems like it's a trick question, because I'm pretty sure it was just something very, like, simplistic. Yeah.
Then the other one I know you should get, which is, which developer released Frogger in 1981?
That's Atari, right? No, it's
not Atari.
It is
an Atari game. Okay, it was on the Atari, but no, that's not the developer.
Oh, I didn't know that. Then was it Activision?
No.
Oh, yeah, I don't know then.
Ooh, Konami.
Frogger was Konami?
Frogger was Konami.
Huh, I did not know that. For some reason, I associated it with Atari, like the original company. Hmm. Was Pong Atari? I thought Pong was made by Atari.
I'm not the person to be asking that. I know Atari had those things. I'm thinking of the Atari system. I don't know the Atari.
Yeah, I know Atari published like the really bad Pong game that came out on PlayStation, because I own that.
Oh.
Yeah. Not 3D, but I don't know if that's because they had the IP after like everything or not. I feel like they made the original though. I don't know. Maybe this will be a question that I just gave you the answer to. Okay. So these questions, are questions that I would know. I don't know if you're going to know them, but I'm not switching up the cards. I'm playing by the rules. What is the name of the player character in Horizon Zero Dawn?
Fuck. So, like, Horizon Zero Dawn is, I think, a game where you're, like, a hippie out there hunting robots.
This is...
Is that the game, or is this, like, some mech game?
No, I mean, you're not wrong. You're not right either, but you're not wrong.
Like, as an outsider who's just been watching maybe ads, like, you have, like, a bow and arrow, and you hunt robots.
I mean, you are correct in that sense.
That is the game. it seems like the protagonist...
Hippie who hunts robots. Oh, my God.
I mean, she's got, like, I think it's a feminine person. I don't know. That. I'm not going to know this. Ariella.
I mean, it starts with A. The correct answer that we were looking for here was Aloy, Aloy. Okay. Also, ironically, sort of in a continuing theme, voiced by Ashley Birch, who I talked about earlier.
Oh,
yeah, very good game. And yes, you hunt robots with a bow and arrow. Like that.
It seems inefficient, but okay.
It's not as inefficient as you might think. Okay. This one, I think you might be able to get just by process of elimination. Kratos faces off against which of the seven wonders of the ancient world brought to life at the start of God of War 2?
So early God of Wars, he was probably still in Rome. I don't think he ever messed with the Egyptians. The Viking stuff would be out. Wonders. So faces off against one of the seven wonders?
Which of the seven wonders of the ancient world brought to life?
A Sphinx actually seems like the most obvious, but it's like...
Is a Sphinx one of the seven ancient wonders?
I don't... Now I'm like, what are the seven ancient wonders? It would be like there's the pyramids of Giza. There's
don't think you can bring them to life. I'm trying so hard here to help you.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, what are the seven wonders and what would, if it came to life, be a worthy adversary? Like, you can't really fight pyramids. What is the Roman, the Colosseum? No. The Hippodrome? Is that a thing? No.
First of all, you're wrong in that he's not in Rome. He's in Greece. It's Greek mythology. Roman mythology copied Greece.
Yeah.
Kratos was going after Zeus and Ares. He wasn't going after Jupiter and Mars.
Okay. I thought he was going after Mars for some reason.
He was going after Ares. That was God of War. Ares. Like, that was the plot of the first game.
Now I'm like, oh man, because my Greek wonders. What are the Greek wonders?
There is one Greek wonder. Like, the seven ancient wonders are seven specific wonders.
Yeah, I'm thinking...
I don't know if more... There might be other Greek ones.
I'm trying to think. There's... Who would be a... What would be a wonder? It's like... I feel like it's a building, though. Why would he fight a building if it came to life? What building, if it came to life, would attack a man who wants to kill a god? Would it be the Parthenon? No. Why would it come to life?
You don't know what the seven ancient wonders of the world
are. No, I don't.
All right, so it's the Great Pyramid at Giza, the Hanging Gardens at Babylon, the Mausoleum at Halicarnassus, I believe, the Pharos Lighthouse.
Great Wall of China? No, that's probably later.
No, the seven ancient wonders. The only one still standing is the Great Pyramid at Giza.
Oh, the rest are all gone.
Yes. Like, these are not just, like, old buildings that we can still see. The seven ancient wonders were all things... there was the statue of Zeus, which is not it.
Oh, I was about to say, that sounds like a thing that should come to life and kill a guy who wants to kill Zeus.
Statue of Zeus was one of them, but it was not it. Oh, God, there's one that I'm missing, and then the answer. And it's killing me that I should know all of these. Like, one of my favorite books is called Seven Ancient Wonders, and it's about, like, the seven ancient wonders and visiting each one.
Matthew Riley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Mausoleum is the one I usually forget. Lighthouse of Alexandria, Pharos Lighthouse.
The Gardens of Babylon or something?
Gardens of Babylon. Anyway, the correct answer is the Colossus of Rhodes.
Oh, okay. That's another dude that would come to life kill you.
Sorry, I'm not, it's killing me. I'm not going to look it up right now. I'm totally looking it up right now.
Because in my head, I was like, Leaning Tower of Pisa? I guess if that thing came to life, you could fight that. Like, so, I'm just like, what dude, so like, what buildings would I fight if I was a dude fighting buildings?
What buildings would I fight?
I feel like this is a great video game idea here.
building fighter.
Yes, you're just a dude, god of architecture.
Temple of Artemis. That's the one I forgot.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It's the Colossus of Rhodes, Mausoleum at Halicarnassus, Hanging Gardens of Babylon, Lighthouse of Alexandria, Great Pyramid of Giza, Temple of Artemis at Ephesus, and Statue of Zeus at Olympia. So
I'm now fully enamored with the idea, though, god of architecture, because I'm picturing, like, different ways to have the buildings come to life to, like, fight you. And, like,
are they like Transformers where they've been like a building this whole time?
So some of them, like, they
okay.
And then, like, some I'm thinking, like, the Temple of Artemis, I believe, has, like, a really nice, like, fresco and stuff like that on it.
Temple of Artemis has been destroyed.
I know, but back then, like, they would decorate this stuff. Again, we're going to have multiple franchises here. I need sequels and such. Okay. We'll get to the modern era, but you fight, like, ancient buildings first to, like, build up your skills. But, like, those, like, frescoes and stuff, they come to life, and so you have to fight those things. And so, again, you're not just fighting a building, because that would be dumb, until you do. Like, this has massive potential. Like, again, different eras, different it's just God of War, but all you do is
fight buildings.
Yeah, and so you're walking through a town and you know that one of these motherfucking buildings is gonna kill you, and you don't know which one, and you gotta find it. Now I'm thinking, like, a Hitman style, like, viewpoint and such. Assassinate the building before it gets you.
All right, you know what, you're not allowed. I'm taking the keys away from you.
Oh, man, I love that. Is there a second question?
No, that was the second question. Oh, that was the second.
God of architecture, copyright, you heard it here. I don't know how to make video games, so you make it and just credit me. You're welcome.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I feel like you know these. In the Dragon Age series, who is Morgan's mother?
fuck, I don't know.
Dragon Age is an RPG?
Yeah. I played the first one. I finished Dragon Age Origins. It's a long time ago. It's not one of my favorite series. A lot of people love it and adore it because it's like the BioWare series where you can romance whoever the fuck you want. Oh. You know, it's fantasy Mass Effect. Like, Mass Effect was the space version RPG, and then they made Dragon Age, which was the fantasy one with, like, wizards and all that good stuff. Morgan was, like, the dark wizard that was hot and had boobs.
Okay, I was thinking of a different hero quest or something. I'm thinking of the guy in Smash, and there's, like, blobs, and it's cutesy animations.
Dragon Quest?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's completely different than Dragon Age. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember who Morgan's mother was.
Flemeth?
That sounds right.
All right.
I know there's a quest where you have to, like, kill her mother. Oh. Or, like, it's, like, her companion quest or whatever. Like, you're, like, trying to reconcile them, and then they get mad at each other, and you have to kill her, or she betrays you or something. I don't remember. I remember you have to kill her mother, but I had no idea what her name was.
Got it. Question two. I think you're a fan of the series. What is the name of the evil alien antagonist in Earthbound?
That would be Gygus.
It is Gygus.
Yeah. I love Earthbound.
Gygus, I'm thinking of like Gary Gygax now from D&D. Unrelated. They're not like naming it in a wink and a nod or something, are they?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, Gygus is like this weird sort of almost Lovecraftian Cthulhu-like entity that's trying to take over the world, like, sort of thing.
Okay.
Very... Like it fits in the tone of the game. Anyway, I can rant about Earthbound another time. It's so good. Oh, it's one of my favorite games. Again, this is things you should know.
Okay.
This is the theme of these questions I'm giving you. Like, they aren't easy, but you should know them. Which studio was the developer for the 2018 game Spider-Man?
See, the developer ones are so fucking hard because the only one that always comes to mind is Bethesda.
As not like talking the about game Fallout, though.
The studio of choice for Spider-Man.
So I've definitely talked about them because they're one of my favorites.
Oh. So I'm like, who would be the... I'm trying to think of what other game... Because I'm like, it's not like a Sony Fox kind of thing. It's because I'm like, Spider-Man franchise movies. Who made Spider-Man?
I'm trying to give you as much help. They also did Ratchet and Clank, which is one of my favorite series. They were recently bought by Sony, which we probably talk about on the podcast at some point.
So I was semi-correct with Sony, but I have no idea.
Insomniac Games.
They didn't do your Psychonauts or anything.
No, that was Tim Schafer and Double Fine.
Okay.
Yeah, but Ratchet and Clank is one of my favorite series. Insomniac is a wonderful developer. I love Spider-Man. Definitely talked about, like, I've definitely name dropped them at least once or twice on the podcast. I've heard
of Insomniac. It's just
you can't.
List of developers I do not focus on remembering those, except for Bethesda.
Yeah, Bethesda. It's the important one. Okay. I don't actually, maybe you might, you should. In the multiplayer for Nintendo 64 is classic GoldenEye 007. Which weapon is famed for its ability to defeat an opponent in a single shot?
The golden gun.
Yeah, okay.
That's a Bond question.
Yeah, there you go. That one.
I played a lot of GoldenEye.
All right.
Slappers only.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good.
Yeah.
I figured you would probably know that one.
Yeah.
And GoldenEye is like classic for all of us.
Like less video gamey and more real lifey, I might be okay, even though Bond is not real.
All right. What time are we looking at?
Oh, we are looking at 1:12.
Okay.
Well, I had two questions set aside, but to do a five.
Let's go to five. Let's go ahead.
It.
Yeah, we'll go to five.
In which 2003 video game does the player control Jade, a photojournalist, in the year 2435, I guess.
Oh, fuck. I know the game.
Really?
Yeah, I know the game. Beyond Good and Evil?
Yeah. Beyond Good and Evil, you're a photojournalist.
Yep. It's a good game. People have been waiting for Beyond Good and Evil 2 for like a decade now.
Okay. Can't even imagine what the game is about, but we'll move on. Developed by id Software or ID Software and released in 1992, which video game is sometimes credited with being the original first-person shooter or at least the game that popularized the genre? it's a 50-50 for me. I might have gotten this.
This one's easy. This one's like a no-brainer. It's Doom. Wait, no. Wrong. It's Wolfenstein. It's Wolfenstein.
Full title name?
Shit.
It's, you're really
Castle close. Wolfenstein?
Wolfenstein 3D.
Oh, okay.
I played this one.
I forgot it also did Wolfenstein.
Oh, there's actually a Wolfenstein not 3D?
I thought Castle Wolfenstein or like Wolfenstein was the first. I think Wolfenstein 3D was like the one where you could actually like 3D.
Yeah, like I thought maybe I played Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah,
but that like it was like a Doom looking game.
Yeah, not like a modern. Wolfenstein came before Doom. I should have realized you said 92 because Doom was 93.
And id Software ID.
It's id. Okay. So not to stray too long here, we want to keep moving. Debuting in 2009. Which mobile video game franchise is developed by Rovio Entertainment?
Angry Birds.
There you go.
Boom. Poop Games.
Poop Games.
Got it.
You know those developers, apparently.
Yeah, they pop up on the load screen.
Yeah. All right. This is going to be interesting. The antagonist Voss infamously gives a definition of insanity in which game?
This might be my favorite guy, but I just have to remember, is it Far Cry or is it that other one that I always get confused, which is like, what the hell is it called? There's Far Cry, and you've been talking about Far Cry, I think, but it's not. That's the Drake one. Then there's the under whatever or whatever.
You're so close, man. You've got him flipped.
This is the Far Cry franchise?
Yes, this is the Far Cry.
Oh.
But which Far Cry?
3?
Yes. All right. Yes. There you go. Yeah. I'll give you that
one. I got a full card.
Yeah. That one I'll get you. I was like, you always think I'm talking about Far Cry when I'm talking about Uncharted.
Uncharted.
Yeah. Okay. Uncharted is not Far Cry. Far Cry is the one you actually...
Because I jumped in and it's like, oh no, we've been talking about the other one. Maybe I'm thinking of... No, it's Far Cry is just like Bethesda Studios, what I go to. Okay. Last one for me. A spin-off from Undertale, the first chapter of which video game had a surprise launch in October 2018?
Deltarune.
Correct.
Wow, this must be really recent to have that as a question.
I would like to hope that you know this. I don't think you would. In Theme Hospital, which I know this game. In Theme Hospital, who do sufferers of the disease King Complex impersonate?
Read that to me one more time.
In Theme Hospital,
okay,
who do sufferers of the disease King Complex impersonate?
King, like K-I-N-G?
King Complex.
I've never played Theme Hospital, so this is going to be a wild guess. Henry VIII?
Oh.
Okay.
Elvis Presley.
This
is like a goofy sim game.
Yeah, no, I got it. I was thinking King, like some sort of royalty.
It's just the little guys will start like, yeah.
Yeah, no, that tracks. I like that.
Have you seen like Theme Hospital in any way?
I've watched someone play Theme Hospital 2, I think. Okay. But yeah. Like,
it's just more goofy fun.
Goofy guy. It's
like a generic Johnson type of game.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure this one... This one is might be further out of your wheelhouse.
I've been on a streak now. I've got one card fully. Come on. I'm ready.
This one. In Tom Clancy's The Division, on what day of the year is a virus spread throughout New York through infected banknotes?
So this becomes like a logic question, actually. Like, if you're going to infect the world, what day to do it on? Or New Year's seems like the go-to. Christmas less so. Division... And I remember the game. I don't think it's in a snowy 4th of July? 4th of July.
No.
Was it New Year's?
No. It was Black Friday.
Logical. Makes sense. Yeah. Like bank. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Last question. Which civilization can use war elephants in Age of Empires 2?
Oh, not in Civ.
Yeah.
Because in Civ, it's the Indian folks. In Age of Empires 2... Is it the Hannibal's people, which would be... Is Carthage in there? No, that's still Civ, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's still Civ. You've played Age of Empires 2.
A long time ago. Yeah, okay. That's why I'm like, I'm caught off guard. I haven't a name I've not heard in years. Age of Empires 2.
Yeah.
Oh, love this game. But War Elephants, the Indians were not a race in that one. It went Persians? Was the Persians in there?
It is, in fact, the Persians.
Okay.
Nice. Good pull.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'll take that one. I'll walk away with it.
Yeah. Not bad.
I like these. These are not completely impossible, but they're enough to like where I have to think about it. And
yeah.
So I'm not going to get it, but it's still a hook.
So you got, let's see, if I like give you Papyrus and Sands, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep. You got 5 out of 10.
Okay. I wasn't keeping track, but you got like 3 fully and like 2 halves.
Yes. I think I was at 8. I think I missed 2.
Yeah.
I'll double check for the final record. when I edit this and listen to it again, but I'm still ahead and I won this round.
I feel like we should keep a cumulative score.
You don't want to keep a cumulative score anymore.
It's each round.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you see,
cause I might have a chance to like beat you once. It's not going to be over time. You're only going to break away. It's funny
because you were the one that suggested doing a cumulative the second time we did this where he's like, maybe I can catch up to you.
But, oh God, that was a stupid idea.
you apparently had a lot more bravado last time we did this, and you're feeling more confident because we drew.
Humble. Harvey Z is a humble man.
That's not something I thought I'd ever hear.
He's the most humble man there is.
Humble Z. You heard it here first. So, Mr. Humble, where can they find you if they're looking for you?
They can find me on Twitter at The Z is silent, THA.
You can find me on Twitter at T-Man Plays Games. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, video game trivia you want us to guess at, you can always email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. And you can always check out my writings that I do infrequently at tmanwrites.com. You can always join us at the Discord, which is in a link in the description. And if you want to check out some of our Helldive Arena videos, I will also be including a link to those old school videos. You can check out me, Harvey Z, Overbob, Slim. I don't remember who else joined us specifically for Helldivers, but I will be including a link to a video or two if you feel like looking at something we did in the past that never quite took off. But we are here on this podcast. We like reliving those days. I think I have a bunch of unedited videos of those in like the vault. Oh. Like when we were still recording, but I hadn't like really stopped doing it yet. Mm-hmm. I think I got like a speedrunner, that game we played with speedrunners where we like all ran around and like, do you remember that one?
I'm trying to think of it. No, it's not. Okay. I know the narwhals thing.
There was a narwhals one.
Fucking narwhals.
All right, well, that's it for us. This episode went a little longer than I thought it would, but I think we did good. We were trying to keep it lighthearted and happy, and I think we did a good job of that this time. And we're apparently fighting buildings now.
Send in ideas for me, because I'm already, like, this is one of those, like, Pokemon Gym kind of ideas where I'm like, what buildings would you want to fight? Let me know.
All right, you heard it here first. Send us an email and let us know what buildings you want to see take on one-on-one in a fight. What building would you...
And you're a dude with a sword, so you got to fight this building. What building should you fight?
All right. We don't have a sign-off.
Adios, Helldiverinos!